With the Enterprise in orbit around an orange-brown planet, an engineer loads a canister onto the transportation platform. It's labeled Caution, Infrasensory Drugs. Destination, Tantalus Penal Colony. Attention, Dr. Tristan Adams.
Ready to beam down.
The engineer joins the transporter chief behind the control desk.
Energize.
The boxes and canisters don't dematerialize. The two men exchange a look.
Energize.
Captain Kirk comes in and watches the two men try again. The cargo still doesn't beam down.
Having trouble, gentlemen?
I just don't understand the problem, sir.
You're beaming cargo down to a penal colony, Mr. Berkeley.
Their security force field, sir.
USS Enterprise, Tantalus Colony.
Rehab Colony, come in.
Request opening in your force field for beaming down of cargo.
Enterprise, affirmative. Our security cover is now open.
Energize.
Berkeley advances the controls, and the cargo disappears.
Any incoming cargo?
Just one item, sir. Some research material bomb for the Central Bureau of Penology, Stockholm.
Tantalus cargo, ready to beam up.
Berkeley pulls back the sliders, and a crate materializes on the platform. It's labeled Classified Material. Do not open. Kirk leaves.
Oh, Mr. Berkeley, you might refamiliarize yourself with the manual on penal colony procedures.
Immediately, sir.
I think you can take the time to lock this up first.
I'll get a vault assignment.
Alone in the room, the engineer turns his back to the transportation platform to take readings from the engineering panel. Behind him, the lid of the container rises. A man with silver hair and startling blue eyes takes a mask off his mouth and nose and stealthily gets out of the container. Unaware, the engineer carries on taking readings from the panel. Wild-eyed, the stowaway creeps up behind the engineer and fells him with a rabbit chop to the neck. He runs to the door of the transporter room, but ducks back inside as two crewmen walk past.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry. Starring William Shatner, also starring Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock. Dagger of the Mind. On the bridge, Kirk talks to McCoy.
Captain's log, stardate 2715.1. Exchanged cargo with penal colony on Tantalus 5. Have departed without going ashore. I'd like to have met Dr. Adams. Have you ever been to a penal colony since they started following his theories?
A cage is a cage, Jim.
You're behind the times, Bones. They're more like resort colonies now.
Message, Captain. Switching to speaker.
Tantalus Colony to Enterprise. We are unable to locate one of our inmates. This is a potentially violent case.
In the transporter room, the stowaway puts on the unconscious engineer's red overalls. He steps out into the corridor, ducks out of sight for some passing crewmen, and slips away.
Possibly hidden in the box we beamed up to you. Repeat, unable to locate one of our inmates. This is a potentially violent case.
Enterprise acknowledging, standby. Security alert 3.
Security alert, condition 3. All sections go to alert condition 3. We may have an intruder aboard.
Repeat, all sections to alert condition 3. Intruder aboard.
Hey, you're from engineering.
The intruder runs.
Bridge, section C, deck 14.
Captain, Section C, Deck 14, reporting trouble. Someone in engineering uniform.
Security control, this is the bridge. Come in.
I have them, Captain. Closing off Deck 14. Search in progress.
The stowaway ducks into a doorway as a security guard passes and grabs him around the neck. He takes the guard's phaser pistol.
Approach with caution. This man extremely dangerous.
Repeat. Approach with extreme caution. Bridge out.
Negative in the deck area, Captain. He may have gotten out. Expanding search to adjoining sections.
Enterprise to Tantalus Colony.
Tantalus Colony. Adams here.
Dr. Adams? This is Captain Kirk. It appears we may have an inmate of yours aboard the ship.
Transporter crewman found unconscious, Captain. Cargo case open and empty.
Make that definite, Doctor. He's aboard.
Terribly sorry, Captain. I take all the blame. Let me repeat. He's clever as well as extremely violent. Take all possible precautions.
We'll keep you posted, Doctor. Kirk out.
Kirk and McCoy look round sharply as the lift doors open, but it's only a security guard. He takes up position by the lift doors. Kirk goes down to the navigator at the con.
Interesting. The Earth people glorify organized violence for 40 centuries, but you imprison those who employ it privately.
And of course, your people found an answer.
You disposed of emotion, Doctor. Where there's no emotion, there's no motive for violence.
The lift doors open, and the intruder fells the security guard with a blow to the neck.
Where's the captain?
He stares wild-eyed and waves the phaser.
Which one of you is the captain?
I'm Captain Kirk.
The intruder steps down into the well of the bridge past the captain's chair and gazes at Kirk with his piercing pale blue eyes.
My name is...
He winces.
Van Gelder. I want to sign him.
At gunpoint?
Van Gelder glances down at the phaser.
I want your promise first. Your word that you won't take me back there, to Tantalus.
Kirk, standing with his back to the forward viewscreen, catches Spock's eye. As the captain approaches Van Gelder, Spock starts to edge closer along the upper level. The stowaway watches nervously as Kirk comes towards him, ignoring the phaser pointed at his chest.
No promises. Give me the weapon.
No! No. No, I'm not going back. I'll disable your vessel first.
You choose, Captain.
I'll destroy your control panel.
He sees Spock and turns. Kirk kicks the phaser from his hand, and Spock disables him with a Vulcan nerve pinch.
Take him to sick bay. Reverse course. Head back for Tantalus Colony.
Later, Van Gelder lies on a bed in sick bay, coming round from sedation.
Abnormal, of course. It's not schizophrenia, tissue damage, or any condition I'm acquainted with, Jim. And you know, after getting him here, it took almost a triple dose of sedative to put him under.
The report said he was quite talkative.
But not very informative. Claimed one thing, then he seemed to forget, and then he'd start to claim something else. But always with just a ring of truth in it. I'd sure like to study this one, Jim.
Not our problem, Bones.
You smug, button-pushing brasshead. Wash your hands of it. Is that your system? You're both quite sure of yourselves, aren't you? Quite expert. Take him back. Let someone else worry about him.
What did you say your name was?
My name is...
Again, he grimaces in pain.
Simon. Van Gelder.
Kirk glances at McCoy.
I was the director.
Van Gelder's eyes widen.
Director. At the Tantalus Colony.
See what I mean?
I was a graduate of Hof. I was assistant to...
His jaw trembles. Sweat glistens on his forehead.
I knew They've erased it.
Erased?
Edited it. Adjusted. Subverted me. But I won't forget! I won't forget! You're so blind, ignorant. You believe I belong back there, don't you? Dead or alive? Well, I won't let you take me back. I'm not going. I'll die first. You hear? I'm not going. No! No!
McCoy administers another dose of sedative. Kirk returns to the bridge. He joins Spock, who's gazing into the viewer of his computer.
Estimating arrival, Tantalus?
57 minutes, 30 seconds, Captain.
Kirk looks over his shoulder.
What's so fascinating?
An identification tape from our ship's library on Dr. Simon Van Gelder.
Dr. Van Gelder?
Dr. Van Gelder, Captain. No mistake. There's a full ID tape on him.
Committed to Tantalus Colony when?
Assigned there 6 months ago as Dr. Adams' associate.
Kirk turns to Lieutenant Uhura.
Ship to surface. Tantalus Colony.
Heading frequencies open, sir.
USS Enterprise to Tantalus Colony.
Tantalus.
This is Captain Kirk. I'd like to speak to Dr. Adams.
Stand by, Enterprise.
Captain Kirk, Dr. Adams here.
Dr. Adams, regarding your escaped man...
Is Dr. Van Gelder all right? And your people? No injuries?
No casualties, sir. This man is Dr. Simon Van Gelder.
Yes, of course. You're certainly all right. We've been very concerned in the violent state he's in.
No harm to him, sir. We thought you might enlighten us as to his condition.
He'd been doing some experimental work, Captain. An experimental beam we'd hoped might rehabilitate incorrigibles. Van Gelder felt he hadn't the moral right to expose another man to something he hadn't tried on his own person.
Tragedy, Doctor.
Jim, that doesn't quite ring true.
Kirk glances at McCoy in surprise.
Dr. Adams, please stand by. Explain.
I don't believe him. I can't explain it, but the more I study that patient...
You don't believe him and you can't explain it. Bones, are you aware that in the last 20 years, Dr. Adams has done more to revolutionize, to humanize prisons and the treatment of prisoners than all the rest of humanity had done in 40 centuries? I've been to those penal colonies since they've begun following his methods. And they're not cages anymore.
Jim.
They're clean, decent hospitals for sick minds.
Jim, listen.
Gentlemen, I suggest you ask Dr. Adams if he wants Van Gelder returned.
Spock folds his arms and raises a quizzical eyebrow. McCoy fumes with frustration.
Dr. Adams, regarding Van Gelder...
Yes, Captain. May I inquire about your patrol destinations? Are you passing near any hospital facilities superior to ours? I'd like Van Gelder to have the best possible treatment, of course.
Thank you, Doctor. I'll take it up with the ship's surgeon. Stand by. Well, Bones, you've got the ball. You care to recommend a better place?
There are no superior facilities. He knows that. But that's not the question. If something unusual is going on down there...
An assumption, Doctor.
I'm required to enter any reasonable doubts into my medical log. That requires you to answer in your log.
He smiles and gives an apologetic shrug.
Sorry, Jim.
Kirk glances at Spock, who sardonically raises his eyebrows. The captain reopens the channel to the penal colony.
Dr. Adams, this is rather embarrassing. By strict interpretation of our starship regulation, I'm required to initiate an investigation of this so that a proper report...
No need to apologize, Captain Kirk. In fact, I'd take it as a personal favor if you'd beam down and look into it yourself. I'm sure you realize we don't get too many visitors here. Captain, I would appreciate it if you could come down with a minimum staff. We're forced to limit outside contact as much as possible.
Affirmative, Doctor. I've visited rehab colonies before. Enterprise out. Find me someone in your department with psychiatric and penology experience, if possible.
McCoy smiles.
Yes, sir.
The doctor glances back over his shoulder as he leaves the bridge. Kirk smiles to himself.
Captain's log, stardate 2715.2. Standard orbit, planet Tantalus 5. Mission, routine investigation and report as per ship surgeon's medical log. As for my last entry, it seems I will get to meet Dr. Adams at last. However, I would have preferred other circumstances.
He turns to Spock.
Sick bay. Report, Doctor.
McCoy comes up on screen.
Van Gelder's still violently agitated, Captain.
And you'd prefer to keep him here until I complete my investigation anyway?
I believe we should, Jim.
Oh, I'm assigning you technical aid, Captain. One of our psychiatrists does have a background in rehabilitative therapy. Dr. Noel, standing by in the transporter room now.
Thank you, Doctor. Bridge out. Mr. Spock.
Spock follows Kirk to the transporter room as the great white starship moves into orbit around the planet.
Coordinates locked in, sir. Ready to beam down.
Kirk stops in surprise. Standing on the platform is an attractive, dark-haired woman. She smiles.
Dr. Helen Noel, Captain. We've met.
Kirk glances at Spock, who slowly turns to him, giving him a look of suppressed amusement and an inquiring lift of his eyebrows. Kirk gets up onto the platform and stands on the pad next to Dr. Noel. They both look straight ahead.
Don't you remember? The science lab Christmas party?
Yes, I remember.
You dropped
yes,
in?
Yes, I remember.
Problem, Captain?
Kirk goes to speak, looks at Dr. Noel, and steps back off the platform. She smiles to herself.
Mr. Spock, you tell McCoy that she had better check out as the best assistant I ever had.
He gets back on the platform, directing a piercing look at Dr. Noel. She gazes ahead, eyes twinkling.
Energize.
Energize.
Kirk and Dr. Noel beam down to the planet's surface, arriving at the entrance to a large complex of buildings under a cloudy gray sky. Dr. Noel, in her short blue uniform dress, looks around. Kirk sarcastically indicates the nearby door.
In here, I presume, Doctor.
Perhaps it would be simpler if you called me Helen, Captain, since...
This is another time, another place, and another situation.
Of course, Captain.
A violent jolt throws them together.
Elevator. And going down quite a way.
I wouldn't recommend it for weak hearts.
The lift slows, and Kirk, who's put his arms around Helen to stop her from falling, lets her go. A man is waiting outside the door.
Hello, Captain Kirk. And,
Dr. Helen Noel. A pleasure to finally meet you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Captain. Welcome to Devil's Island, Doctor.
Perhaps you'll call me Helen, Doctor. With so many titles around, we're not going to be sure who's talking to who.
I shall indeed, won't you?
Thank you.
I believe regulations call for me to check my weapon.
Oh, no, that won't be necessary in your case, Captain. Just keep it out of sight. I know you people feel as naked without a weapon as we do without a medikit. A small toast. Do you mind? It's such a great day for us here on Tantalus when we have visitors, no matter what the excuse.
Doctor.
Oh, now, Captain, you made your apology from upstairs. Now, forget it. I don't think you'll be able to get through the security screen, Captain. Just a second. Yeah, not right.
Kirk to Enterprise, come in.
Enterprise. Spock here.
Your landing coordinates were right on the nose, Mr. Spock. We arrived safely, and we're here with Dr. Adams right now. Kirk out.
Affirmative, Captain. Enterprise out.
Ah, Lathe, come in. Lathe, this is Captain Kirk and Dr. Helen Noel. Lathe came to us for rehabilitation and stayed on as a therapist, and a very good one, too, I might add.
I love my work.
Kirk glances at Helen.
Go right ahead, Captain.
Before you came here...
I was another person. Malignant, hateful.
May I ask what crime you committed?
Does it matter? That person no longer exists?
Part of our cure, if you will, Captain, is to bury the past. Why should a person go on living with unbearable memories if there's no necessity? Well, I feel quite sure that you'd concur with me in that, Dr. Helen.
The shifting of memory patterns is basic to psychotherapy.
Yes. And now to the toast. You'll forgive us, Lethe. There you are, Captain. To all mankind, may we never find space so vast, planet so cold, heart and mind so empty that we cannot fill them with love and warmth.
Lethe looks on with huge blank eyes. Later, Adams guides Kirk and Helen through the facility. A couple gazing at each other lovingly stroll by.
Quite a tour, Doctor. Very impressive.
Thank you.
They pass an open door.
Doctor?
Yes?
I was afraid you'd ask about this, Captain. One doesn't like to talk about their personal failures, you know. So it's just an experiment that went wrong, I'm afraid.
May I see it?
Captain, if something hasn't worked out and therefore has no scientific...
Shall we leave it up to the doctor?
Since you brought me down here for advice, Captain...
One of the advantages of being a captain, Doctor, is being able to ask for advice without necessarily having to take it.
But
I think I'll have to award that round to the captain, Helen. You're fighting over your weight. All right, let's take a look.
In the Enterprise sickbay, McCoy and Spock observe Van Gelder.
I'm not a criminal! I do not require... neural neutralizer!
Spock leans closer.
Neural neutralizer. Can you explain that, Dr. Van Gelder?
Room. A device. Store. Control pad. Ceiling. A device. A light! A light!
This room. What happens there?
Van Gelder's eyes bulge. Spock gestures to McCoy to give him another dose of tranquilizer. Kirk and Helen look at a man strapped into a chair behind a glass screen.
A neural neutralizer. Experimental. Actually, we don't expect to get much use out of it at all.
That beam from above neutralizes brain waves, relaxes the patient's mind. There's no harm, of course.
And the effects are only temporary. One question, Doctor, if it doesn't do any good... Why do we go on using it, Captain?
Hope.
Yes, yes, there's always that slight chance that it might do some good in the more violent cases.
Mm-hmm. Tranquilizers are fine, Captain, but to continually pump chemicals into a person's bloodstream...
Exactly my point, Helen. Yes. Tony?
Adams leaves with Helen. Kirk turns back to the operator.
How does it work?
Quite simple. Off, on switches, and the large control here changes the strength of the brain neutralizing beam.
Captain, you remind me of the ancient skeptic who demanded of the wise old sage to be taught all the world's wisdom while standing on one foot.
Beam neutralizing has been experimented with on Earth, Captain. I'm not acquainted with this particular style of equipment. But I can assure you that Dr. Adams has not created a chamber of horrors here.
I didn't mean to suggest that he had. The reason I asked, sir, was you haven't mentioned where Dr. Van Gelder's injury occurred.
Right here, Captain. Yes. Simon was a very stubborn man. He could have sat in that room for years with the beam at that volume, or even higher. Or if he simply had someone standing by to snap it off in case he got into trouble, but no. He tried it alone and on full volume. That's a pity.
He leaves again with Helen. Kirk turns back to the operator. The man gazes blankly at the patient in the chair.
Thank you.
He makes no sign of having heard, but as Kirk leaves, he talks to the patient.
You will forget all you have heard. To remember any portion of it, any word, will cause you pain. Terrible pain, growing more terrible as you fight to remember.
Behind the glass screen, the man in the chair screams in silent agony. In the Enterprise sickbay, Spock contacts Kirk.
And can you give us your present location, Captain?
In Dr. Adams' study, Mr. Spock. Why?
Then you're with Dr. Adams now.
Affirmative.
McCoy listens. Spock sits down at the desk.
Captain, Van Gelder has made reference to a particular treatment room. The term was neural neutralizer.
Yes, he was injured there. I've seen the room. Dr. Adams explained the mistake Van Gelder made.
Spock glances at McCoy.
Go ahead, Mr. Spock. Anything further?
Adams gets up from his desk.
Yeah, Mr. Spock sounds like a very excellent second-in-command, Captain Kirk. Please tell him to go ahead and speak freely. I have to check in with a member of my staff anyway.
Thank you, Dr.
Excuse
Adams.
Me.
Stand by, Mr. Spock.
Adams smiles at Helen and leaves.
Dr. Adams is left with some things to attend to. What is it, Mr. Spock?
Van Gelder is extremely agitated, Captain, and warns that you're in danger.
Oh, that's foolish.
Please repeat, Captain. I didn't receive that.
Tell McCoy, the technical expert he sent along with me, insists that any concern is unjustified. According to Adams, Van Gelder created his own problem.
He's suffering from neural synapse damage, as if his brain were short-circuited. It's no wonder he's having delusions.
McCoy here received and understood.
But we still have some doubts up here, Captain. Can you tell us any more?
Not really.
When do you plan to beam back up, Captain?
I think we'll spend the night here, Mr. Spock.
No! No!
Van Gelder shakes his head.
And you will continue to check in every 4 hours?
Affirmative.
Kirk out.
No! No! No, don't let them! You must warn you, Captain! No! No! Don't let him stay! Don't let him stay! Don't! No! No! Don't hypo me! Please, don't hypo me! I'll try not to fight. I'll try. But you must listen. Warn you, Captain. Dr. Adams.
His face contorts.
Dr. Adams will destroy.
Destroy how? What?
Van Gelder's eyes bulge.
Like death.
Spock and McCoy look at each other across the bio bed as Van Gelder's huge pale eyes stare fixedly at the ceiling.
Enterprise log. First Officer Spock, acting captain. I must now use an ancient Vulcan technique to probe into Van Gelder's tortured mind.
Spock, if there's the slightest possibility, it might help.
I've never used it on a human, Doctor.
If there's any way we can look into this man's mind to see if what he's saying is real or delusion,
it's
we should try...
It's a hidden personal thing to the Vulcan people.
Part of our private lives.
Now look, Spock. Jim Kirk could be in real trouble. Will it work or not?
Spock goes over to the bed. Van Gelder is strapped down, the biomonitor at the head of the bed recording his vital signs. Slowly, he turns his head to Spock.
It could be dangerous. Do you understand? It requires I make pressure changes. In your nerves, your blood vessels.
You must open my mind. Let me warn you, explain to you.
This will not affect you, Dr. McCoy. Only the person I touch. It is not hypnosis.
I understand.
Spock briefly massages his hands, then places one hand under Van Gelder's jaw and the other over his forehead. He feels with his fingers and thumbs for the various pressure points, then looks up at McCoy. The doctor looks at the biofunction monitor. All the levels stabilize.
Good. The reading's leveling. You begin to feel a strange euphoria.
Spock leans over Van Gelder and slowly moves to the top of the bed so that he stands above him. McCoy watches intently.
Your body floats.
Yes. I begin to feel it.
Open your mind. We move together. Our minds sharing the same thoughts.
On the penal colony, Dr. Noel opens the door of her room.
Good evening.
Good evening.
What did you think of the inmates we saw here this afternoon?
You could have waited until tomorrow morning to ask me that, Captain.
I didn't.
I thought they were happy, well-adjusted.
But a bit blank.
Captain, if you're questioning the methods of a man like Tristan Adams...
I'd like to see that treatment room again. You say you're somewhat familiar with the theory behind it?
Yes, somewhat. But if you'd simply state any doubts you have to Dr. Adams...
And if he's lying, he'll continue to lie, and I won't find out a thing. The only way I can be sure is to see that machine at work. Or is that too impractical and unscientific of me, Doctor?
Helen turns away, suppressing a smile. Kirk goes to the door.
Well?
Coming.
Spock puts his head close to Van Gelder's.
What is our name? Who are we?
We are Simon Van Gelder.
Dr. Adams. The neural neutralizer. What did he do to us?
He can reshape any mind he chooses. He used it to erase our memories. Put his own thoughts there.
McCoy listens.
He was surprised it took so much power. We fought him, remember? But we grew so tired. Our minds so blank, so open, that any thought he placed there became our thoughts. Our minds so empty, like a sponge, needing thoughts, begging. Empty. Loneliness. So lonely to be sitting there empty, wanting any word from him. Love, hate, live, die, such agony to be empty.
Empty.
So empty.
Van Gelder's eyes close.
I have no desire to damage my brain. Can this be handled with reasonable safety, yes or no?
Yes.
And will you be able to determine if that beam is harming me in the slightest?
Yes, Captain. I know my profession.
Kirk nods and goes through into the chamber. He glances up at the strange golden-blue saucer-shaped light in the ceiling and sits in the chair beneath it, glancing back at Helen on the other side of the glass screen.
Try minimum intensity. A second or two.
The dark-haired doctor turns the dial. Kirk stares into the revolving, pulsing light.
Anytime you're ready, Doctor, just for a second or two.
We already tried it for that long, Captain.
Nothing happened.
Something happened. Your face went completely blank.
Try a harmless suggestion.
Helen thinks for a moment before turning the dial. Kirk gazes into the beam.
You're hungry.
You know, when we finally get through this, I'd like to locate and raid a kitchen somewhere.
I put that suggestion in your mind, Captain. I said simply that you were hungry.
Kirk's eyes narrow shrewdly.
Remarkably effective for a device that Dr. Adams was going to abandon.
I think we should try this again.
Yes. Pick something unusual, an unusual suggestion, something we can both be sure of.
Helen turns the dial.
At the Christmas party, we met. We danced. You talked about the stars. I suggest now that it happened in a different way. You swept me off my feet and carried me to your cabin.
In his memory, Kirk carries Helen into his cabin.
Merry Christmas.
Captain, if you crew saw, you'd carry me here.
My crew? This sworn to secrecy.
But my reputation.
I mean, just having met like this. Of course, it would be different if you cared for me.
Kirk holds her at arm's length.
You want me to manufacture a lie? Wrap it up as a Christmas present?
No. I'd prefer honesty.
She moves her hands up his arms to his shoulders, and he pulls her into a passionate kiss. In the chamber, Kirk smirks at the false memory. Adam's assistant pulls Helen away, and Adam steps up to the controls.
Now Captain Kirk is going to have a complete demonstration. I want there to be no doubts whatsoever in his mind.
Kirk's jaw tenses as the power increases.
You're madly in love with Helen, Captain. You'd lie, cheat, steal for her. Sacrifice your career, your reputation.
No, Doctor, no!
Okay. You feel it, Captain. You must have her or the pain grows worse. The pain, the longing for her.
Helen.
For years you've loved her, Captain. For years.
For years I've loved you.
You must continue to remember that, Captain. And now, she's gone. Helen! Helen, don't go! I need you, Helen! Now, Captain, you must take your phaser weapon and drop it on the floor.
Reluctantly, Kirk pulls the phaser from his belt and looks at it.
Captain, the pain increases unless you obey me.
I must drop it.
Very good, Captain. Very good indeed. And now your communicator. Drop it on the floor.
Slowly, Kirk brings out the communicator and flips it open. He clutches the communicator in both hands and struggles to speak.
Kirk to Enterprise.
Oh! Kirk! To Enterprise!
Helen struggles with her captor as Kirk stares into the light and screams. Planet, Kirk lies on his back in his room as Helen sponges his forehead.
They've taken you from the room, Captain. You're in your own quarters now.
Helen. Helen, for years I've loved you. Helen.
Try to remember.
I loved you.
He placed all that in your mind.
For years.
Remember, Dr. Adams took the controls away from me. Do you remember the pain? And then his voice? Remember?
He rolls onto his front, his eyes focusing.
I remember.
He looks up at her.
I remember. Helen.
Her dark brown eyes become wary as Kirk struggles to his knees with a lascivious smile. She backs away to the wall. Kirk notices the metal grill at her side. He runs his hand over the mesh.
Doctor.
Kirk gets his fingers under the side of the grill and prizes it away from the wall.
Give me a hand. Pull.
The grill swings open. Beyond is a wide metal duct.
Air conditioning. It has to connect with other ducts and tunnels. You can get through this. It might lead to the power supply. Short-circuited. It would cut off the security force field. Have you had any training in hyperpower circuits?
No.
Megavoltage. Touch the wrong line and you're dead.
Anything's better than Adam's treatment room.
Kirk pushes Helen into the duct and closes the grill just as the door opens. It's Adam's assistant.
Time for another treatment?
With a phaser held at his back, Kirk goes out into the corridor. In the air conditioning ducts, Helen slithers along on her stomach.
Please don't fight me, Captain. The pain only gets worse when you're done.
Kirk grimaces in pain.
You believe in me completely.
I believe in you.
You trust me completely.
I trust you.
Excellent, Captain. I compliment you. Do you know Dr. Van Gelder was down on his hands and knees sobbing at this point? It's so gratifying. I'm so fortunate to have had a couple of excellent specimens to work with. I've learned a great deal.
The woman doctor. She's gone, Dr. Adams.
Notify security at once, lady. Where is she, Captain?
I'm... Oh!
Kirk arches his back off the chair.
I don't know.
He collapses onto the floor on his back. In a wider section of ducting, Helen crawls along on her hands and knees. She looks through a grill into a room full of switching gear and electronic machinery. She opens the grill and slips into the room. In the center is a cage containing power breakers. She unbolts the cage and tries to locate the switch.
Emergency channel D.
It's no good, Mr. Spock. I can't break through their force field.
Keep trying.
Helen closes the cage and slips out of the room just as three guards come in. One climbs a ladder and disappears from sight. The other two check the room and move on, splitting up and taking different routes. Helen, hiding behind a corner, watches them go and slips back into the room. High up in the cage, she sees the huge high-voltage circuit breaker. She opens the cage door, reaches up, and takes the large switch in both hands, pulling down with all her weight. It starts to move. One of the guards comes back and sees her. In the neural neutralizer room, the assistant lifts Kirk back onto the chair.
Get back in the chair, Eli, and find that girl.
Kirk overpowers the assistant and Adams. In the switch room, the guard throws Helen to the floor and pushes the power switch back on. He goes over to Helen on the ground. She kicks him, pushing him back into the cage. Sparks fly, and he drops to the ground. In the transporter room, the engineer turns to Spock.
Mr. Spock, the force field is gone. I can send you right to the source of the interruption.
Get some security people and follow me down.
Spock leaps onto the platform.
Energized.
In the switch room, Helen picks up the dead guard's phaser and slips back into the ducting. As she disappears, Spock materializes. Spock kneels by the body of the guard and puts his hand on the man's chest. He looks around. One of the switch boxes is labeled security screen. He breaks the lock, throws all the switches, and reaches for his communicator.
Enterprise, this is Spock. Force field has been eliminated.
As he leaves the room, he turns the main switch back on. In the neural neutralizer room, Adams comes round and stares up at the pulsing, strobing light. There's no one in the control room to turn it off. His face contorts in agony. Kirk ducks into his room.
Captain! Captain!
He hurries over to the grill, helps Helen out, and kisses her.
Helen, are you all right?
Yes. This isn't right, Captain.
Spock bursts in.
Dr. Adams did this to you.
Dr. Adams?
Spock shrugs.
Dr. Adams?
treatment room. Follow me.
All over the facility, Enterprise guards are detaining the staff. McCoy sees Kirk.
Jim!
Kirk pushes him into the treatment room. Helen, Spock, and McCoy follow. The machine is still running. Kirk switches it off and hurries over to Adams, lying on the floor.
Power came on.
He's dead, Captain.
The machine was not high enough to kill.
But he was alone. Can you imagine the mind emptied by that thing?
He looks up at the neutralizer.
Without even a tormentor for company.
I understand.
McCoy's eyes narrow thoughtfully. Kirk gets up and leaves the room. The others follow. Later, with the Enterprise preparing to leave orbit, Spock sits at his position on the bridge alongside Lieutenant Uhura, taking readings. McCoy stands by the empty captain's chair. As Spock steps down to the lower level, Kirk comes out of the lift.
Oh, Captain, there was a message from Tantalus Colony, sir.
It was from Van Gelder. He thought you'd like to know the treatment room had been dismantled, the equipment destroyed.
Forward phaser, affirmative.
Thank you.
Looking distracted, Kirk goes to the captain's chair and sits down. Behind him, McCoy leans against the chair with his forearm resting along the back.
It's hard to believe that a man could die of loneliness.
Kirk's eyes narrow.
Not when you've sat in that room.
The captain takes a deep breath and looks at Spock. A faint smile crosses his face.
Take us out of orbit, Mr. Spock. Ahead, warp factor one.
Acknowledged, Captain. Warp factor one.
McCoy leaves the bridge. Kirk purses his lips thoughtfully as the Enterprise turns its prow towards the stars. This audio description was written and produced at IMS for the Sci-Fi.